Hello, do you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Ah, fine. Okay, share this. You okay? Okay. Let's wait a couple of minutes more. I've received very few of the technical exercises, so I decided also because yesterday for me was difficult to prepare the class, to change the one of tomorrow and the one of today. So I hope that is not a problem for those that are here. It's not a problem, but I hope that. The other people that are not here will have no problem in interchanging the two. Since I'm recording the class, there should be in principle no problem with the to attend if you are not here. So my idea is that today I discuss the defense of the thesis and I give you one extra day to submit things because I just received five of you and it's I mean, I would like to have a bit more. So I think we can start because more or less who's here is here. And today I will try not to forget. I still have to turn on this. Okay. The one of today is this one. Yes. So the idea is that today I discuss how to defend the thesis, and tomorrow we will go on technicalities. Okay? I will show you tomorrow things that are okay in what you submitted and the things that are not, maybe using exercises of other years if I have not enough. But I would like to have more. I just received five up to now. Okay. So let's start. If online you have some problem, please turn on the microphone and say that you don't listen, you don't see, or whatever. Because, I mean, I cannot read the chat, so it's better to make a voice comment than a written one, because sometimes I've read it too late and you were already away. Okay, so this. Is a monographical lecture on how to defend the thesis once you have already written it. So either could be in July or in September. To present your material is another one of the activities that we do and is completely different from writing your material, okay? So my activity is to do research, but I have at least two extra activities. One is to write what I study, and this is a task that has particular rules, that, as we have seen in the other days. And then a second task is to present my result in front of an audience. Okay, and then here, presenting is completely different from writing. So in this case, for the thesis, you have to do both. First, you have to write, and then you have to defend. Now, the presenting your material depends strongly on the audience. Okay, so what I'm saying now is particularly tuned for the defense of a thesis, so in which the audience really are four people. But some of the things I'm saying is general, of course, and is my suggestion, or is how I prepare talks that is valid in general, but of course has to be fine-tuned depending on the particular group of people that is attending your talk. So we are in the last part. The one on the exercise will be tomorrow, so this order is interchanged. I apologize. The point was that apart of receiving very few of your exercises, yesterday in the afternoon I had to go a bit of science talk, so it was impossible to me to prepare the class with no material. At 11 in the night, I decided, who cares? And this morning, I've seen that I had no material either, so there were no new stuff, and I decided to use this one that is easier for me because it's already prepared. I just updated it a bit, but basically, I've seen that there were no updates to do. This was basically the schedule of the other two classes, the first and the second, and I'm repeating it because some of them are the same also for the defense. First of all, you have to choose the language, choose the software, and maybe you will start to choose an artificial intelligence to help you. I'm putting here a question mark because I've not yet found a good way to use it. I will tell you how I'm using the AI now, but it's a work in progress. I mean, I still prepare the talks basically by myself. Probably you will be better in this. How many of you have already presented your stuff in front of someone? So you already show, have you given talks to people? The TFG. Okay, so the TFG was your, and you too, you gave talks, I suppose. So the TFG is your only experience in presenting things, right? Okay, the TFG has its own rules. The amount of minutes you have is 15, something like that. The number of minutes is relevant, we will see. And I don't remember, there is a jury in the TFG or is just the advisor and is there a... So it's similar. Apart of the TFG, you have not presented in front of people, no? So apart of him that is doing the PhD, is there someone else doing the PhD? No. Okay, so if you are doing the PhD, of course, you have already been presenting your stuff in schools or whatever, but otherwise, usually you have one or zero experience in this. So you will start from this basic stuff. Then you have to organize the slides. Now, to organize the slides is pretty much the same as organizing the thesis, but is not completely identical. For example, well, this I should have moved down. What was appendices in the thesis become backup slides. Again, also in the presentation, don't put the technical details in the talk, but you prepare slides for all the appendices you have. Why? Well, those slides, those that come from the appendices, are important more for you than for the talk itself. Usually, if the talk is well structured, nobody will ask for technical details. If you have a talk that is very technical, maybe someone could ask for some mathematical passage or whatever. But usually, what is the importance of backup slides is to be confident with yourself that in case someone asks on some particular detail, you have something prepared. There is a lot of work I will tell you today devoted to organize the material that would be needed if someone asks something. So you have your material and you decide to present a part of it in a given way, but you have to ask yourself, what are they going to ask? And you have to prepare things for those questions that you can imagine that are typical, that you will expect some kind of question in this direction, and so you can prepare the material. Now, I strongly suggest to make a rehearsal of your defense with the advisor. So some of the advisor or comp or other students that can listen. But for example, the advisor would suggest changes. But then together you can also discuss of things that the people could ask. So those questions that arise in the rehearsal are probably some of the questions that could be asked by the jury. Okay, so you prepare backup slides for all of those questions. So at least you are quiet enough because you know that half of the work in the questions is already done. Apart of that, of the appendices, the rest is the same. What is old, what is new, introduction and conclusion. Then you have some particular tips on how put graphics and equation and referencing. Also in the talk, you need the referencing, but of course it's completely different from the referencing that you have in the text. In the text, you really put the bibliographical entry, whereas in the talk, it's sufficient to put a name and a year or something like that. You usually don't put a full bibliographical entry. You will see. Okay. So again, this is still true. I'm not teaching you how to speak. I'm not teaching the language. And I'm not teaching the physics. Remember that the physics, you are the one that knows more on your subject in the room. So you are the one that is the expert on the particular stuff you are talking about. The language, of course, you should choose a language in which you feel confident. If it's English, well, try to polish it, try to make a rehearsal, and so on and so forth. And then how to speak, this is like writing. Some people are very good at it and some people are not. But also those that are not very keen of speaking in front of a public can make again rehearsals and there are also some anecdotes that I can talk about. When I go to the presentation, I will also tell you things on how to move and things like that. Choice are the same. Okay, you can write in any of these languages and you can defend in any of these languages. In principle, it's not mandatory to have the same language for the writing and for the defense. So maybe you have written the thesis in English, but you don't feel confident in speaking in English and you want to defend it in Castilian, in Spanish. Okay, this could be done. Actually, I had a nice case in which, it was funny because I had a case in which there were two theses that were written in English and I was in the jury. Okay, so I have read the thesis and just a week before the defense, someone, I don't remember, one of the two guys, there were two theses written in English. And they were well written, both. One of the guy called me asking me if he could defend the thesis in Valencian. And I told him that I understand Valencian, and so if he wanted to defend in Valencian, he could do it, but I cannot ask physics in Valencian. And that I would ask in English, since the thesis was written in English, and so it was a very good writing, and so I supposed that he would be able to understand, and then he could answer in whatever language you want, because understanding is one thing, but the active production is another one. But I also told the guy, well, the thesis is well written in English, why don't you defend it in English? Well, he told, well, because I don't feel confident enough. I say, well, but this is the more point in which you can try and you will see. So that day, the day arrived and the guy defended the thesis in English and it was perfect and the English was very good and that's it. And then he came and he told me, "Ah, oh, thank you very much, because I was very uncomfortable with this fact of defending the thesis in English. But then I found that with some rehearsal, I became more confident. I'm very happy having done this because now it's better. I have the thesis in English, and I've also proved myself that I could do this in English." And then after the second guy came that also had a thesis written in English and started. Vol parlare della materia fosca e tal, and started in Valencia. So, of course, I understood the thesis, but I asked in English because, well, he didn't phone me before, so I have no idea that he was to do the thesis in Valencia. And I told him, "Well, I'm sorry, if you were phone, I would have told you that I would ask in English, but well, this is the situation, I'm sorry." And so, it's up to you what you want to use, but again, I suggest English. I suggest to write in English and to defend in English. The motivation are the same. This is the first point in which maybe you are talking in English. I don't know what will happen in 10 years. Maybe we will all use Chinese, but in this moment is of course English the language that we are used to use when we communicate with other people. This situation depends on the politics, of course. 100 years ago, everybody was speaking in German, so scientist, and 200 years ago, everybody was speaking in Latin. So, well, I don't know what happens in the future. In this moment, all of us speak in English between ourselves when two people from different nationality meet. So I suggest you to also defend in English. The particular software, of course, depends on your particular computer. So I'm using Keynote or PowerPoint, basically. I don't know in Windows alternatives to PowerPoint. Well, of course, there are the open version of them, but basically it's the same software, and Linux, whatever. I'm using Keynote, but this is completely up to you. The artificial intelligence. It is not clear to me how to use it to prepare the slides. At least the version that I'm using does not prepare PowerPoint-ready code, doesn't produce Keynote prepare code, either produce text, or I found this way in which I ask the AI to produce a LaTeX Beamer style. And then I compile the LaTeX and then I get the PDF. And then I take the PDF and I cut and paste the things that I like of the PDF to import either in Keynote or PowerPoint or whatever. Why? Well, because to adjust the graphics is much better a software like Keynote or PowerPoint. If you want to do directly in LaTeX, then you have to start moving things and it's not something like. You are not drawing, moving things visually. So it's a bit worse for the organization of the things. On the other hand, in order to put colors, to organize the structure of the talk, and maybe to write the question in particular, the Beamer way, it's okay. So I do half and half. I don't feel happy with this solution. So I think that as long as I will be using the AI to prepare the talks, I will get to some optimum for me, but this is not the moment. So on this, maybe you are more expert than me, but, or you can ask me in the future, maybe when you are preparing the defense, you could send me a mail. Andrea, can you suggest me how to do this? And you could. So basically, this is the last point in which you will see a reference to artificial intelligence in the talk of today. This is because I'm not yet using it, and I don't see yet how to. The organization of the material, okay, I can ask, but I'm already an expert in organizing my material for the talk, so I didn't see any improvement. And the sentence that the AI write are for this particular for the talk are not better than mine, because you are not using polished English with complete sentences. Sometimes you only put keywords, and so there is no big advantage in using the AI. At least for me, at least now. You will see that I'm referring to in particular to the talk of the first day, because most of the things are still there. Again, you are the expert, and the advisor is the only other person in the room that they understand. And sometimes the advisor is not in the room because that day the advisor has a conference somewhere, since it's in July. So sometimes there is nobody that understands what you're talking about apart of you. Everything is true, and it's still true that there are people in the jury that understand you and others that do not know anything about the subject. Okay? And again, you have to talk to both people, and you have to focus on those that do not understand. So you already know the names. When you defend the thesis, you know the names of the people that are in the jury. Please do a little search and understand who is who. So what are they working, which is the field in which they are working, and then you discover that this guy is an astrophysicist. This is the biophysicist, and that one is quantum computing, and the fourth is high energy. Okay. And your thesis is on astrophysics. Okay. So you understand that those other three guys are related to this subject less strictly than the first. Maybe the biophysicist is the one that is less in the field. Okay. So this is your favorite. Person. The level of the talk has to be tuned to those that are the last of the queue. Fine? Okay? Fine. I don't remember that read. Why did I did? Okay. The point is that, again, they are physicists. This is very important. I'm talking you how to defend the thesis, but in the future, maybe you are in an audience in which everybody is theoretical physicist and you are speaking about theory, so you are very happy, or is a general public that is coming here because they have a beer and there is a free beer if you attend the talk. Yesterday, I was giving a Pint of Science talk, so the talk was supposed to be in front of people that are there because after there is a concert. And so, in order to introduce the concert, there is a guy speaking about physics. Okay, so this is crucial. In this case, everybody are physicists, so you have to skip references to standard stuff. If in the audience there are people that are coming from the street, then you have to introduce the basic stuff. Okay, the organization. The organization is more or less the same. You start with an outline of the talk. Okay, why you need an outline of the talk? Well, this is crucial. The more organized is the talk, the better come out. I think the worst talk I've been attending to were given by mostly Russians, that they use the idea that the talk is improvised. But I don't know if this is a tool or not, but I mean, and the correlation are of course Poissonian. I could say 10 talks out of 1,000 talks I've listened to, and maybe of the 10 talks that were awful, five were from Russians and the other five were from people of other nationality. I'm just saying that probably there could be a style of giving the talk. What would happen? Well, at that time, this is not now, but at that time, people were preparing the slides really on a piece of paper that you put on a I don't know how to call a projector. And then the piece of paper was written in a film that was transparent, so you were writing on it and then you were projecting this. Okay? So you have your packet of slides, were real slides, and you were changing, you were here and you were changing your slide and you were projecting things. Okay? So for a talk, say of 20 minutes, you used to have 30 slides. That is something like this. Okay. So usually these guys that I'm talking about were coming with an enormous amount of slides. Okay. So part of the talk was devoted in searching for one particular slide out of the 300 and to put this. So you can imagine of course, there is interactivity, because you are wasting time making some jokes or so on and so forth. There is a lot of show up because I'm showing you that I have a lot of things. I know a lot of things. I'm a smart guy. But then you lose the flow of the talk. Okay, so this is why organization is crucial. Out of the 200 slides that you have, you should subset those that are relevant for this audience, this talk, and already prepare them in a given order. Okay, now this is no longer like this because everything is electronic, but still, there are people that have talks that are 100 pages and then they go and back and forth from one part to the other because they are adjusting it on the spot. Okay, so please avoid that. In order to do the organization, it's crucial to know how much time do you have. So this is the first question I ask myself. How much time? Does it include questions or not? Because sometimes they tell you have 20 minutes. But is 20 minutes plus 5 or is 15 minutes plus 5? This is crucial. Okay? In a talk of 20 minutes, this makes a big difference. Of course, if the talk is they tell you is 45 minutes, well, is less relevant if the 5 minutes of the questions are included or not. Then it's completely different if I'm preparing a talk in a conference in which you have more or less stringent times, and after me there are someone else, and before me there are someone else, or I'm the speaker in a seminar in which I'm the only one. Okay, if I'm the only one to give a talk in a seminar, I feel more relaxed and I usually exceed my time. I'm talking about me. As you see, I'm quite used to speak. So I could stay here hours with no problem. Okay, so when I know that I have time, I take advantage of this and I take time. On the other hand, if I'm in a conference and I have a restricted time, you cannot do this because this give a very bad impression when the speaker doesn't tune the talk in order to be more or less the time that is supposed to be, then gives a bad impression. But because either you are cut halfway or you have to go faster in the last part, and this is awful. So in this particular case, you cannot be longer than is supposed to be because after you, there will be someone else. That day, there will be four theses in the same point. Okay, and each of the theses has to be the time that you have because then there is the question time, and after the fourth thesis, the people has to go away and because they have to give the marks and so on. So you have to be in time. Okay, once you know the time you have, then you have to decide how much time I spend in average on a slide. And this gives you the number of slides you should prepare. Okay? This in part is subjective because there are people that can speak more or less. And then also depends on the particular material of a slide. This is true and not at the same and not true at the same time because you are the one that put the material in the slide. Okay, so you should avoid to have overcrowded slides that would last 10 minutes just to explain the slide. And also you should avoid to have an empty slide that takes 2 seconds and is just giving to this. Okay? So since you are producing the slides, you have to decide if your slides on the average last 1 minute, 2 minutes. I consider 1 slide per minute is okay. For me, it's a reasonable thing. Okay? So if I have, say, 20 minutes, this is 20 slides. This does not include the backup. The backup could be whatever. And I told you mostly is to make you feel relaxed on the fact that you are already prepared against any possible questions. So I suggest to have as many backup slides as you want. But the real slides has to be tuned, say, 20 for 20 minutes, 40 for 40 minutes. Yesterday I was speaking 30 minutes and I prepared just 13 slides. But this is because I'm in front of an audience in which nobody was a physicist, and so I have to fill the space with talking. And if I spend time talking, it can take more time per slides. And also I know that they have to digest the slides. For an audience that is the jury of your thesis, I would say that 1 slide per minute, it's okay. Could be 15, could be 25, but don't put 40 slides in 20 minutes. Imagine that you have 20 minutes and it takes 1 minute per slide, so you have to prepare 20, okay? Then you make some test and you check that your 20 slides last 20 minutes, okay? If they last 30, you have to reduce the content of the slide or you have to reduce the number of slides. And if take 10 minutes, then you have to put more. This is comes after the rehearsal. Remember always that when you defend the thesis, you are nervous, so you go faster than what you thought. If at home you do a rehearsal and it takes 25, this is not really a problem because probably in the defense it will take 20 or 21. If at home it takes 15, this is a problem because it will take 10. This is the standard, I mean, you know yourself, but generally, when you are defending your work, you go faster than you should. Okay, so take into account this when you prepare the slides. Now, I know the number of pages I have to produce, how to divide the pages. Okay, this stuff is still there. What was called introduction in the thesis mainly now is motivation. Really, there is no need in 20 minutes to introduce the subject. You directly go to the subject, but still there is a need to motivate your research. Then there is a part devoted to old stuff, a part devoted to your work, and again, you will use the new and the old in order to highlight what is yours. And then this is mandatory, you need some conclusions. Actually, you need both conclusions and outlook. An outlook means which is the future after my thesis is done. Okay, this, if you don't put, they will ask you, so it's better that you already prepare it. What happens with the number of pages? Well, this of course depend on the material that you have, but I will give you how I do. I really do like this. I take a piece of paper or on the blackboard and I make a grid. If it's 20 minutes, there are 20 slots. And then I start filling. There is 1 slide for the outline. This would be the introduction, the index, whatever. Why is there? Well, you could skip if you need time, but doesn't this takes 2 seconds to discuss, so could be there. Then there is the introduction motivation. For example, I do a thesis on something that is related to the standard model. My field is the standard model. I take a couple of slides to introduce basic stuff, the number of particles, the interaction, whatever. So this is general. Then I focus on open problems of the standard model, and then I motivate my work. Out of this open problem of the standard model, for example, the generation of a baryon asymmetry, I will focus my work on this particular recipe in order to, okay? And you insert your activity into something. The number of pages is up to you, but taking time to motivate is always good. So I would suggest that if this is larger, the better. In particular, in the defense of the thesis, because what the people will see is that you really know why are you doing something. So to spend time to motivate it is well used time. Then I write things like this. This is really like this. I'm saying all stuff doesn't mean to fill the material. I say, okay, the old stuff more or less would be 3, 4, 5 pages. Remember that you have already written the thesis, so you already know which is the old stuff. Okay? You know that in my thesis, the old stuff chapters are chapters 2 and 3, and it could take 4 pages to remind what is useful for the following. When I'm preparing a talk from scratch, usually I have to talk about a couple of papers that I've done. Also, in that case, I know which is the content of the papers, and I should select what is the old stuff that I want to refer to. Okay? For example, in the old stuff, you again you highlight which was the problem. To generate a baryon asymmetry through leptogenesis, there were these models in the literature, but the masses of the particle involved are excluded by LHC. Okay, so I want to explain the baryon asymmetry in the universe. I, in particular, use models of leptogenesis that doesn't work for this. And then you really go to your particular work. You see that in this organization, more or less, these and these are yours. So there is more time for your stuff than for the old stuff. So the two most important parts of the talk are the motivation, of course, and your work. But you have to bring the people to your work by putting the old stuff because you want to make a reference to that stuff. Have you have seen this baryogenesis model doesn't work because of this? Whereas in my particular suggestion, it works because of that. And this is your part. For example, we could change the content of fields in the model, and so we get this particular action that is better because there is this and that, and there is more freedom because I have more parameters. And so the problem that was that the model was excluded now is no longer excluded because the parameter space is larger and I can fill some region in which it works. Okay? So you introduce your work. So some part of this in the thesis would have gone to the introduction. Okay? Now you are taking time to introduce the characteristic of the model, but more or less is the level of content that you had in the introduction, not the level of content that you have in the thesis, is highlights of what you have done, because it has to be resumed, summarized in slides. Okay, this is the object that you are using, and the object is mainly visual. It's not written. I mean, there are characters here. But what I'm saying is that the message is conveyed by the image that you are projecting. So it's a different way of translating your information. Fine. It's better to put very few words, some images. If you have, we will see now other tools like equation and so on, they have to be highlighted. Okay, so this is not written text. And then maybe you have results. You take time to introduce plots, to do, for example, the mass of the particle that allows this is greater than, smaller than, and then you put a plot. And then this is very important. I always want to now make the point. In this particular model, this was not working, but now we manage that it works. Okay, so maybe you have another plot in which you compare old model with the new one, and you again explain that this model is much better. So out of the 20 pages, I have here 13 pages that is my work. This is a reasonable proportion. So a bit more than half is dedicated to your work. Okay? Then I have the conclusions. The conclusion is like in the thesis, is really a summary of what has been done before. But more important than the conclusion is the outlook. So the outlook is what are going to do next. So we have developed this particular model for to generate baryon asymmetry in a leptogenesis framework that works fantastically, but we have still to explore the bounds coming from whatever. The next thing we are doing is this one. There is a follow-up in which we add a new particle. There is a follow-up in which we do this. Probably you will do it. I mean, if you are going to do a PhD thesis, in the moment in which you defend your thesis, probably you have already started the collaboration with the advisor to do a PhD, so you already know what you are doing. But even in the case in which you have not yet a clean idea, take a time in order to see how your work could be developed in the future, if not by you, by someone else. This is not the end of the story because could be inserted in this particular study on Palladini gravity that could bring to, okay? This is because we need to see that this is a work in progress and you are aware of it. So the message is always, I took time in order to think about it and I know that this could be better done if you pay me 4 years to do this, for example, okay? So once I have this, I have the structure of the talk. Fine. If it's a 40 pages talk, maybe it's not so defined. Okay. But if it's 20, I can really write something like this. And then I do this. So I go from the outline that is just symbolic to really a graphic object. This is how people do movies. The directors usually, after reading the script, try to develop either themselves or they ask to someone to develop a visual idea of the outcome of the script. So the script is C-3PO moves in the desert together with R2-T2. And you have to imagine, and the director thinks how this should come out and decide that the first thing that you see is the Star Destroyer coming, approaching a planet, and then you zoom to the planet and you see a desert. Okay? This is transforming your idea into a visual image. In this case, you have to give hints as which is the visual rendering of your script. In our case, I need to understand where I want to put the plots, how many plots I want to put, how many equations, and maybe I start writing here my model. This is just an action and a table of fields. Here I show that in the limit of small masses, the problem that I have before, and so I will imagine that I will put an equation or whatever. And then out of my 232 plots, I decided that these two plots are those that are relevant. Okay, so I go from the symbolic level in which each slide is just an idea of what it is to a graphical level. Okay? So I really do this. I also always tell to my students, of course, to do in this way, but usually nobody follow me, but this works for me, and you have to find in, at the end your own way. I'm talking about what I'm doing. Okay, once the talk is prepared, what you start to do? Well, you start to fill your visual object, and as I told you, the first part that I'm going to use, I think this is better to move it down. Okay. The first thing that I want to put in my talk are the plots. Well, I suppose that all of you have some plots. True? Also, the th very hard theorists have some plots. Are there hard theorists here? Experimentalists, we know one, two, three, four. So you have many plots. And the other rest has some plots. Okay, so the first point is to decide which plot you have to put. Plots are tricky. Okay? This is a particular point for experimentalists. Fine. Now I show you this. This slide was presented by the spokesperson of Atlas in the 2012 conference in which they announced the discovery of the Higgs. And in my opinion, it's awful. Why is awful? Well, you have three plots on the same slide. Please take a note. One plot per slide, full stop, no more than one. If you put two, it's because they are the same and you are comparing things. Never put three, and never put three that each one of them has a different meaning. Because otherwise, I have to spend time in principle to explain the three of them. Now, I don't want to enter the physics, but if I look at this, I see two kind of plots. The plot here is in the category of the qualitative plots. So those that don't convey a quantitative message, they want to give an idea of something. The other two, they are quantitative. So really you are interested in the numbers. So let's start from the qualitative one. This is how the Higgs is produced at LHC. Gluon fusion and other channels, but mainly gluon fusion. So why the experimentalist that is talking about the Atlas result want to show which is the Feynman diagram behind? I mean, you could just have said that the main production for Higgs is the gluon fusion and don't put a theoretical picture here. If you put a theoretical picture in which you are showing how the Higgs is supposed to be produced at LHC, put it in a different slide because here is taking room out of the message. The message is that you have a peak, not here. This is not the plot in which you have the peak. So these are the cross sections of producing the X, different components. And in particular, this, okay, this is telling you how you see in the end the X. So through which kind of signals, X to WW that eventually you detect with two lepton and two neutrinos, or Higgs to gamma gamma, the Higgs to four leptons, and whatever. Okay, so these are the branching ratios for the different channels, and this is the highlighted zone. So the message here, the most important part of the message would have been that in this particular region in which the peak was, you had some components. Now, this is very much typical for an experimental talk. Okay, the idea, I don't know where to put this. And I cannot remove it, right? Can I? And then this one, probably. And then, okay. So there are too many plots, okay? And they go from the theory to the signal. So there are too many things to be put in the same slide. Then, this is irrelevant. I would have skipped. All the people, apart of that, all the people in the audience that are there because they already know that you are going to announce the discovery of the Higgs knows how the Higgs is to be produced at the LHC. So this is completely irrelevant. Then you see here, well, my PDF rendering doesn't convert the characters. So this should be, I don't know what, but in any case, the figure is worse than as it was in the real talk. But still, you can see that the legend is a mess. You don't use transparency to put the legend and to see the lines before, below. There are too many things. This is awful. Okay. Now, which is the real message of the slide? Why someone put all this information? Well, this is nice because really the message here is not the content of the figure itself, but is the amount of information that you put. LHC is a powerful machine and produce a lot of things. Okay? So really what you want to do is to show that you are powerful and you have a lot of data. So the message that the experimental is giving to you when it puts a lot of figures in a slide is not the content of the slide, but the fact that you have a lot of data. So really, this picture is supposed to be impressive because of the amount of information, not of the real content. Actually, if you go to the talk itself, these kind of slides, when you there are some recording, they are passed very quickly. And there are several of these because the idea is to impress the audience with the fact that I have this and that and that and that. This could be a trick. If you have a 15-minute talk in which you are going to win the Nobel Prize, maybe this is a good point. I have a lot of plots. So imagine you have 200 plots. This could be a trick to put one plot and then click and another, 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 another. Actually, I would also put them on the same slide and they appear one on top of the other. So that in the end, you have the impression that you have a lot. Okay, but this is the real message. Okay, you have to learn how to deal with which is the message you want to give. If you want to astonish the public, you put a lot of equations. If you want to astonish the public and you are experimentally, you put a lot of images. But you are not interested in the content of the equation or in the content of the images. If you want to do this, you can do this, but this is what you are doing. Okay? Okay, so also talks that are very important can have a wrong usage of the plots. What I would do is to put one plot per slide and take your time to discuss. In particular, in your case, you really select a couple of plots that are the most relevant one and you take time to discuss. If the plots have a lot of lines on it or a lot of things on it, you can also devote more than 1 minute. You can spend 2 minutes. I remember one talk in which I don't remember what's happening, but I was supposed to have a 40-minute talk. And at some point, I discovered that I was going too fast. I don't know what, but I arrived to a plot and I say, okay, since I've noticed that I'm 10 minutes in advance, I can spend 10 minutes on this plot because there are a lot of things to be explained. Laughing in the audience, but then it was possible. I mean, if you are an expert of your own work, you can spend time to explain things. This is why the plots should contain information. No plot with just one line, because if you need to spend more time on the plot because you've discovered that you are in advance, then you have things that you can explain. Okay, so put content in the plot, but put one plot per slide. Okay, the same happens with equations. The second most important tool for a physicist are equations. Okay? Equations are way more important than sentences. So you could have a talk with no written language at all, only equations. Now, a talk with no equations is a bit pedantic, with no words. But still, don't think that the words helps in any way the audience. If you put keywords, this could be okay. For example, imagine you have a picture with a plot, a slide with a plot, and you put a title to the plot. The title is useful because the reader, the audience, could read the title and understand the content of the plot. But a lengthy explanation on the left of the plot in which you say this goes like this and this goes like that is misleading. It's better that you say this goes like this, this goes like that. Don't write it, because either the people are reading or are listening to you. And if you put too much text, the people will not listen to you. But if they do not listen to you when you change the slides, they've missed your flow. Okay, so it takes time to take back understanding what the people is saying. What you want to do is that the people listen to you and look at the picture, and they have not to read the picture. So equations, in a sense, are like the plots. They are okay because for a physicist, they convey a message and you don't have to spend time to read the equation. But in this case, the same problem that experimentalists do have are theories that can have the problem. Look, this is a slide from a talk, I don't remember when and I don't remember where. Again, don't enter into the symbols, just take the picture. The picture itself is full of equations, okay? I can understand that here is a basis of operators and there are all the operators listed. There are some qualitative-like picture in which some of these operators are related to Feynman diagrams. And then there are some coefficients that if I'm in the field, I know that they are Wilson coefficients of these operators. So each of these operators will enter in a Lagrangian multiplied by one of these coefficients. If the coefficient is small, the impact of the operator is small. If the coefficient is large, the impact is large. Okay, then there is the highlight of one particular operator, O9, and the coefficients are C9 and C9 prime. So there are these two operators. And then they have some relation with the coefficients of O10 and O10 prime, okay? So these are the information that you get on the slides. These operators could be either produced by the standard model or by new physics. And what you want to do is to detect the impact of new physics on your particular stuff. Okay, now there are way too many equations. Okay, they try to give you the illusion that the theoretical approach is complete. Why I put many operators? Well, for example, look, 9, 9 prime, 10 and 10 prime are related by these coefficients. What happens to 7 and 7 prime? They don't appear anywhere. Okay, in the plot, but not here. So they are not interesting because I'm telling you this is interesting. Whereas 7 and 8, 7 prime probably are not interesting. So why I'm putting 7 and not, I'm not putting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that of course are there? If there are operator called 7, there should be an operator called 6, another that is called 5. Why are they are not there? And what happens with operator 8? Why I jump? Okay, of course, people in the audience in a talk that is talking about this knows more or less what the people is going to talk about. So knows that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8, but they don't play a role, maybe or not. Still, graphically, the picture is too messy. Okay? Then, look at this qualitative picture. Do you understand from this graph the difference between penguins and current? Why I say this? Well, let me go back. This operator like this You see fermion, gamma matrix, fermion, fermion, gamma matrix, fermion. Although you are not doing field theory, I tell you that this is a current and this is a current. So in our field, this is called a current-current operator. Current-current means that I can put together two things. A current I draw with a line, I have two lines, and in one point the two lines are touching. Okay, this is an operator made out of two currents. Whereas if I go here, you see fermion, gamma matrix, fermion, this is a current, and this is the Jan-Mills operator, the Jan-Mills tensor. So this is a photon or a gluon. There is one current and there is a gluon or a photon coming out. These are what we call penguin diagrams. They are called penguins. I don't know if you know the story why they are called penguins. There was a bet between two physicists, and one was betting that you are not able to put the word penguin in your next article. And so the John Ellis, that was writing the next article, invented that some particular class of diagrams was indeed a penguin diagram. The idea was that the diagram was I don't know if you see where is some point in which you can see. Well, the diagram was. Okay. So this is the current that we have there. And in the end, you get the operator that is a photon coming out of a current, but the original operator would be this, and writing like this, it looks like a penguin. Well, this is the idea. But do you see the difference between a penguin, the seven, and the current here? No, because there is a red dot. So actually, the two diagrams, if you look at them, are absolutely identical. You see? The only point is that there are things coming out that are different. In this case, there is a photon, and then two leptons, and in the other case, the two leptons are in the same point. I would say that this diagram is completely useless for this particular picture. I would say that this is completely useless for this particular picture. I would say that most of them are irrelevant. I would focus on this. I would have just drawn this and put that. I have not put the listing of the operators. This is how I should use equation. This is true both for plots and equation. One plot per slide, two only if you compare them. You are, for example, old measurement at LHC of the Higgs mass, new measurement at LHC of the Higgs mass. And then if you can superimpose them, better. But otherwise, you can still compare. But don't put measurement at LHC of the Higgs mass and measurement at tevatron of the W mass. Why they are together? One go on one slide and one go to another slide. Then don't put plots that represent different things, okay? Putting plots of different things in a one slide to save a slide is not a good idea. It's better to have two slides and spend 30 seconds on one and 30 seconds in the other one. Okay? Then the equations should be the important one. If you have to solve an equation, your thesis is solving an equation, you put in a slide the equation to be solved and in a slide the solution. Fine? Okay. Again, once you have done all of this, you have organized your work, you have prepared your plots, you have prepared your equation, and you have written all of this, then you can go to this part, the introduction. Again, you do that at the end. Okay? Again, is a summary. But in this case, the most important part is the motivation. Okay? So Why I should suggest to do this at the end? Well, because this is difficult to really find the better way to present your not your work, but why your work is what it is, can take more time than just to present the plots. So I would say you start from the plots because it's the easy part. You have already prepared them for the thesis, so you can put the plots already in some particular sequence. And then you have a half structured talk. And then when you finish all of this, you go back and to write the motivation. Some of this is no longer true. Some of this is true. For example, I still need to introduce the field. I need to motivate what I've been doing. I don't need to make a summary of the results because you are going immediately after the motivation to talk about the result. You have not to do that twice. In the introduction, you have a summary of the results because some of the reader only read the introduction. Okay, so this is helpful for the reader, but in this case, they are obliged to stay there. They cannot stay there just for 5 minutes and then they go to take a coffee. Fine, so you skip this part. The whole part you have has to be tuned as a function of the audience, okay? So if the audience is general public, you spend more time. If the audience are physicists in your own field, you sp spend few time. If the audience are physicists not in your field, you take some time. I would say that out of 20 pages, 3 to 4, it's okay. Again, the old section is useful in particular to compare with the new one. So out of the stuff that build up the old chapters, take out those that are immediately related to the new stuff. Okay, so you present the old in order that you can compare with the new. How you use the questions? Now, you have your plots, and then you have some equation that you decided that they are the most important one for your talk. I suggest you to use a question dynamically. An equation is a bunch of characters that by itself they don't tell you anything. You have to read it in order to understand the meaning of the equation, of course. But if the reader start to read the equation, it takes time, and in particular, it miss the is not listening to you because he's spending time to read the equation. So what you want to do is to draw the attention of the reader to what is relevant for the talk. As an example, I had a talk in which in a slide appeared the question. Then I gave to the button and then I highlighted this. Why doing this graphically? Well, it gives dynamics to the talk, it makes you interact, okay? And then draw the reader see the question, but immediately is going to the important part. So the not the reader, the audience understand that the crucial point is this one. They don't waste time to read the full equation. So you brought the attention to this particular set of characters. This is the same. First, I add the question, but then I highlight this particular part. Then I can use colors. Colors to highlight variables in an equation are important. Maybe after there is a plot in which you draw something as a function of that particular parameter. Okay, so you are already preparing the flow of the discussion, taking the attention to this. So this is supposed to be the flux of neutrinos that reach my detector from a starting flux, and that depends on the cross-section of the interaction of the neutrinos with the medium and the original flux. Okay? Okay, and this cross-section depends on two things. That is the cross-section of the neutrino with a nucleon and the density of nucleons inside your medium. If my talks The most important part is to talk of the density. I highlight the density. If my talk is on the cross-section of the neutrino-nucleon interaction, I would highlight this other part. Okay, so the idea is to use the question dynamically to bring the attention to what is really important, not statically, like in the written text. In the written text, you have to trust the reader to read the question. In this case, you help the audience to the important part. Okay, how do you do the new part? The new part is like before. In the defense of the thesis, a typical question is, I'm sorry, but I didn't understood what have you been doing. You show what is done, but I didn't detect which was the novelty in your particular work. So this is a typical question that you have to avoid because if the audience after 20 minutes has not understood what you have done, you have missed the point. This is the most important part of your talk. This is what I've done. Okay? So again, you use the old stuff, you compare, and you say, this is new, and then I work on. Okay? How you use the graphics? In this case, you see that the caption is not needed. Actually, I will not put a caption in a figure in the talk because it takes time to be read. Remember, the less text I put in the talk, the better. The text is basically there just to fill the space. Okay, few keywords, a title, things like this, but don't put text that has to be read as a sentence, so with the grammatic of the full sentence. If you put only the verbs and the substantives is better. If you put only substantives is better. I mean, so take out of the text the context and remove the rules of the grammatics that you use in a written text. Okay, so now only the concept are relevant. So don't put a caption, take time to explain the figure. That's why you want one figure per slide. So the caption is myself. I will take time to explain what the figure is in. Now, in this case, of course, legends are still useful. They are graphical objects that can be used usefully. And in this case, you should take advantage of colors. In the written version, I told you please choose colors in order to be possible to be distinguished also in black and white. This is like education for the reader that will print it because they are old people, because are whatever, because they decided they want to print. Okay, so you do this effort. But now, no, you take full advantage of your laptop and you put the brightest color that you want and you highlight things with colors. Use the legend in order that the colors are understood. So better to use boxes to differentiate colors than to put lines. Lines are more difficult to see. Yesterday in the talk I gave in this bar, I discovered that there was a television screen to project. But the television screen was like this. And the bar was twice this. Okay, so people in the end of the room, okay, they have their beers. But still, it was very difficult for them to read things. So in that case, I had to use a lot of acting in order to make the message. So I worked. Our pointing on top of the television, things like that, because you cannot rely on the screen in order to be seen. Since you are in a particular case that is the defense of the thesis, you should go to the place where you will give this and see which is the hardware that is there. Last year we gave it in biology in some rooms in the Department of Biology, I think that I've never been. Before of that, we used to give the defense in the seminar room in the Department of Physics. Okay, there in the Department of Physics, there is something like this. It's okay, given the size of the room. But in biology, it was a very large room, one of those classes where there are standard class. And the size of the screen was half of this. But I mean, of course, the defense of the thesis, everybody was in front, so it was okay. But if you have time to see where it happens, it's better. In a conference, this could be crucial because maybe you are giving a plenary and you will have a gigantic screen, or maybe you are in a parallel and you have a very small staff. That changes. If you have bright colors on a gigantic screen, they are nicer. If you have a projector on the parallel, maybe it doesn't work as properly as the one in the plenary, because someone has repaired the projector in the plenary, whereas in the parallel they have not, so they discovered that you have to give that on the blackboard at the very last minute. So take time to know where you are going to give the talk, if it's possible, at least 10 minutes before, just that you are aware. So the plots in the talk has not to be the same as in the thesis. Of course, you take the relevant plots from the thesis, but you may modify them. Actually, do modify them in order that they look brighter and nicer and better and whatever. Never ever put plots like those that I showed you a couple of days before. Plots that are empty with no lines, with plots in this case are the best friend of the speaker. Okay, so they have to be the best that you can. You take time to explain the plot. Okay, so if your talk is going faster than what you thought, you try to see it because it's going to be faster because you are going to be nervous and you are going fast. When you arrive to the plot, you take time. You just look at the clock and you see, I have 2 minutes more, so you take time. People are happy when things are explained to them. Okay, equations, only put the questions that are relevant and try to draw the attention to the relevant part of the equations. All the rest you put in backup. Actually, I suggest you to put a lot of things in backups precisely because then you are more quiet, more relaxed on the fact that if someone is going to ask me this, I will have a backup slide. Actually, this gives a very good impression when someone makes you a question and you go to the backup and say, I already prepared an answer to this, so gives that you are in control of the discussion. Okay, so apart from the rehearsal of the talk, I would suggest that the most important part is precisely to devote time to questions. So after that, the advisor told you, modify this, modify that, and then you should ask to the advisor, okay, but what can they ask me? This is important. You take note and you prepare a couple of slides for that. In the presentation, you have not to introduce all the symbols. As I told you, you use it dynamically. You draw the attention on the particular symbol that is relevant, not the rest. There are characters in the question that are scrapped. They are there because of mathematical consistency. But what is relevant is this particular parameter out of the whole equation. Okay? You have not to explain how you reach an equation. This is written in the text. They will have read the text or not, but in any case, you assume that they should have read the text. So your equation is your equation. It's up to you to choose which one is the most important one. Then, how are you going to quote people? Now, in the case of the defense of the thesis, this is mainly to show that you are aware of the previous work on the subject. But if you are giving a talk, it's a common situation that one of the people that are working on this is sitting in front of you. Now, there are people and people. Some of those people get angry when they are not quoted for something. So it's better to quote them. If you know that in the audience there will be your enemy, your life enemy, sitting in the first row, it's better that you quote the enemy wherever is needed. or that you are aware that you are not doing this on purpose because you want a fight to start. Actually, this is another technique. There are people that like to fight in a discussion. This is crazy, but again, Russians do love this because it's a technique to, I mean, some interesting stuff could come out of the fight. Sometimes no. Sometimes it's just that I have my opinion, you have your opinion, we start quarreling, all the rest get bored, and that's it. At some point, a chair should say, okay, maybe you could leave this discussion for the coffee. Let's go on, and they stop you, and they, okay. But in order to avoid this kind of embarrassing situation, it's better to put references to people that you expect will be in the audience. Okay? In this particular case of the thesis, no, you put the reference because you are aware of the work of other people before of you. Now, in the case in which you have some things to be quoted in the text, I told you that you have to put the original source when this was told for the first time. In the talk, no. In the talk, you put references to things that are useful for you, to people that have done things that are immediately useful for you. You will not put in the talk a reference to Einstein 1915. Okay, Einstein is not in the audience, so you can reference, if needed, the paper of 2023 of someone that is using general relativity to do something. How you do that? Well, you see here, for example, this is a case in which they have put two plots. But this is okay because this plot and this plot are the same and they are just comparing the experimental data, how they improved. Okay, so this measurement has improved to this measurement. And you see that the scales are the same, so that you immediately see that in 2 years you have gone from these sides to this, and the center has moved here where before it was there. Okay, so this is a typical case in which you are comparing usefully two things that are the same thing. Here there is the reference to the paper in which this was published, and this is the reference to the archive where it has been submitted. Okay, so this is giving two information. This is old stuff, is published. This is more recent and is still on the in the process of publication. So immediately you see that this is recent. You are not talking of another old stuff. Probably this is mine. Possibly this is mine too, because I'm putting these things. Okay, this is one way to quote, putting the journal or the archive number. I'm not telling you who is the author. If I know that the author is in the audience, the author will recognize it. But I'm not telling the other people who is the author of this. Maybe it's irrelevant. Okay, I'm quoting the paper. So the person in the audience that knows that this is paper will not get angry, but I'm not giving any message of who has done this. Another option is to put, for example, the collaboration. Okay, this is from a talk of mine in which I was using a slide with a plot from someone else, and I quoted precisely where I got the information. This was from a talk in the IceCube contribution or to a particular conference and was published here. So, with respect to this, I'm also giving some information of the authors of the picture. When you use a plot that is not yours, this is mandatory. You have to put a reference to the place where you took the picture or to the people that have produced the picture. Usually it's better to quote the place where you get the picture, okay? And a third option is to put name of peoples. Okay, you put name of peoples sometimes because you want to put the name of the peoples. As I told you could have put the journals. And sometime you put the name of the people because you want to put your name. Okay? I'm referring to my own work. What I do if I have done this and I want you to know that this was done by me. In this case, okay, maybe I'm the author and I don't only want to compare this, but also to make you aware that I'm in the field since very many years. And I'm the one to be quoted because of this particular stuff, not we just put in the journal. Okay, so imagine that I'm putting this, but the paper is mine and not of the guy in the third row. Okay? So what I do? There are two possibilities. Some people put the initials. So I'm Andrea Donini, I would put AD in some place. The other option is to quote it like any other reference. So if I'm writing with other people, I put the name of all the people, or I put the journal. I prefer to do it like this. So I quote my own papers as they are other papers. In particular, I don't highlight my name by putting initials. This is important. You are highlighting your names by putting the initials. So looks like that you are humble enough not to take the top spot by putting your name, but instead putting the initials, you are saying, this is me. Out of this bunch of authors in which I've put the family name of all of them, this one with no family name is there because it's me. Why you use this? I'm in a conference and the audience is listening to 20 talks. Of course, they have completely forgotten who is you. I mean, they know that there are five talks and then there is the coffee, and you are the fourth talk in a row. Okay? So it's very possible that the people in the audience are there because they've listened to the first talk and then they are waiting for the fourth talk and they are listening to you because it's unfair to go away because they are not interested. Still, they are there and maybe they could catch some message of what you are telling. Imagine you are a young researcher. This is typically the situation. You want that the people take notice of you, although they do not know you, because you are the last guy of this senior advisor that they know, but they don't know the last PhD student that is sending to the conference, okay? So you have to profit of this time in which the advisor didn't have time to go to the conference and decided that you were going to the conference. So you have to present the results of that group, okay? So you take advantage. Still, you are Donini. And the people in the audience, half of them are seniors, half of them are other PhD students or postdocs, have never heard of you. Okay, so this is why if you present your own work, maybe you want to highlight it by putting your initial. So at least visually, when they see the reference, they know that you are the one that has done this. Like here. Okay, look here for example. In this particular slide that is from the same talk as before is the one of the on the questions and has the same error as before. There are too many things. Still, I want to take out this. First, there is this citation on SMEFT. Okay, so these are the authors that invented SMEFT, that is effective field theory of the standard model. So standard model plus 5,000 operators is the most general extension of the standard model you can have. These are not in one paper. These are people in different papers that more or less at the same time suggested things, and the author of the slide has put all of them together. On the other hand, this second one, in which they show that C1 is equal to C3, is a paper because there is the reference to the journal, PRL 18, and there is a bunch of names out of which two are with initials, SDG and JM. So clearly, this talk has been given either by SDG or JM. Clearly, either SDG or JM profited of an existing slide of the other one and forgot to replace the initial of one of the two with the full name. So in the audience, they don't know if the one that is speaking is SDG or JM. Is one of the two. Okay, when you cannibalize the slide of someone else, please take time to adjust the slide. Okay, if there are things like this, you put here the full name of one of the two, and so the rest is yours. So you see that immediately by comparing how this was quoted and how this was quoted, the message is that this is what I'm doing, this is what I've done, this is me. Okay? This is a good idea. I mean, you could highlight your own work by doing this, but you have to be aware that it's not because you are shy and you don't want to put your family name. It's just that if I put my family name, nobody will differentiate with Capdevila, Crivellin, Hofer, and whatever. So you have to remember, but you can do. I mean, you are the owner of the flux of the speech. So you can say, I have done this. There is no need of putting initial there and not saying that I have done this. You should be honest and you should take advantage of the fact that you speak and you say, this is my work, and then you put the reference like the rest. This is how I prefer to do things, but this is a good option, you can do it. So you can quote your work, either put in initials or not. Okay. For example, this is by me in a talk in which I quoted the picture by putting the journal. Of course, I mean, this is not because I'm humble that I didn't put my name. I wanted to highlight that this was nature. I mean, everybody has to take advantage of what has done in the best possible way. I wanted to show, wow, this is nature. But I didn't want to say, this is me. Of course, all the talks was done by me, so in a sense, it was evident. But you can put the journal and it's a very good option. Okay, so you can quote by putting a journal, no names, and you are safe. People in the audience that are the author will recognize it. Okay? So to avoid the angry Russian, it's okay. A part of that is up to you. This would have been the citation if I've put the name and so conclusions. The conclusion in the talk is really a summary. So you just put a few lines in a list of things that has been done. And the outlook is an extra slide. I prefer to have an extra slide and I prefer to call it outlook because immediately differentiate. This is old, this is the future. Okay, maybe since it's the last thing that remain here, don't put the slide thanks. The slide thanks is devoted as no content, okay? You say thanks, but you don't put the slide. Why? Because the last slide is the slide that stay there. So when you finally stop discussing and this chair will ask for questions, there is something there. If this is the outlook, it can certainly drive some question because people that are interested in your work want to know what happens next. They want a trailer, a spoiler of the forthcoming season. Okay, so leaving the outlook is a good idea. And it's better the outlook than the conclusion precisely of this because can draw the attention and draw questions on this. So imagine something that can be answered to a question on which is the future. Remember, timing is crucial, okay? When you are an expert, time can be adjusted on the spot because of your, I mean, I know that it's 20 past 11. I started at, so let's say that I can take 10 minutes more or less, and I can use it. Have I been too fast or not. The class was supposed to be around 2 hours, but maybe with interruption, so more or less I'm in time. Still, I have some anecdotes that I can talk about so I can fill the blank. What happened? So you have the microphone on, and I don't know, you had a cup of coffee and you draw it on your knees, and now. Okay. But for you, since you are at the very beginning, timing is crucial. So take time to rehearse and take the time of how much it lasts and so on. Now, I will tell you about two possible approaches to the defense. I think this was the last one. So try to foresee, okay, to try to foresee possible questions. Oh, yeah, appendices. Okay, I told you that all the things that are technicality goes to an appendix, but that in this case is called backup slides. People will have the possibilities to see your backup slides because most of the conferences ask you to upload the file. You don't upload two files. One that is the one that is be transmitted by the conference, and you have a second one because most of the time you have to use the laptop of the conference. And so the file that you are using is the same file that they are presenting. So this means that people in the audience can download your slides. If you have backup slides, they will see the backup slides. So don't put scrap stuff in the backup slides. The backup slides also has to be worked material. Okay, you don't put bad words or things there. Or, well, this is a joke, but it was like it's true. In the time of the slides in paper, so you have to go with your own stuff of slides. My advisor told me that he went to a conference. With another at that time postdoc that it was a friend of him, but it was a bit lousy. I mean, it was not very organized and was a bit improvising. But one of this time, he arrived with the envelope with the slides, and then he put the slide on the projector, this other guy, and there was a piece of salami on the slide. Okay, so this is the kind of things that in the electronic world could happen if in your backup slides you uploaded the picture of your dog and you forgot that you have the picture of your dog. Maybe you put that there in order to organize the background, and then you forgot that you have the picture of your dog. Okay, so take care to revise the backup. Most important part in the backup are boring things and things that could be a parenthesis. I know this was a guy that was very, very expert in giving talks, and this was also the time in which this was handwritten, but then he moved to the projectors. But in any case, he had slides with the open parentheses and a close parentheses. Okay, so he put open parentheses, then he had some part of the talk going on this, and then he had another slide with a close parentheses because this was intended to be a digression from the main talk. I would suggest things like these to go to the appendix. If they ask, you go directly to those and they are prepared there. You can prepare as many as you need. The worst nightmare is the sleeping member. Now, these things that I want to tell you is precisely in this direction. Okay. The technicalities I've told you. You prepare the talk, the better you prepare the talk, the better will come out the talk. You rehearse the talk, the most you rehearse the talk, the better. When you are expert, you don't need to rehearse because you already know, but basically you have interiorized the same information. However, at some point you are there. Okay, you have done all the work. You have everything prepared, and now you have to stay there. Staying here is a process that in other fields is called acting. So I'm really no longer a scientific researcher. I'm an actor. I'm presenting a piece of drama, okay? A piece of something. This piece of something has zero emotional content because it's made out of plots and equation and stuff. So I have to give the emotional content. How can I do this? Well, the first point is to look at the audience. So you have to look at the audience and to make the audience feeling that you are talking to you, and you have to switch a lot. Now, there are people that are very shy and they stay in a corner. The worst possible thing that can happen are those computer in which you have no pointer to change and you have to stay in one part because you are obliged to stay there. Maybe that imagine that I have to use this and I have to click on it every time I change. Okay, also in this situation, depending on you, there could be two things. Either you are an active person, so you move, and I suggest you to do it, and you take the center of the screen, of the scene, maybe leaving some room behind. Or since you feel shy, you do like this, and you stay always behind. Now, try to avoid this, okay? You are not protected by the desk. I mean, it's you that they are examining. Fine. So one part of the mark comes out of the confidence that you have in explaining your stuff because you have done a work. You should feel proud of your work and you have to present the work. Okay. So I remember two extreme options in doing this. This was an Indian guy, Indian saying from India. He was a massive person. I mean, he was a very high and very big, strong. And I don't remember why, but I don't have here anything point like. Well, imagine that I have those pointers that are made of wood and with which you can point to things. So, what he was doing was basically doing like this. Okay, so now we will see that this is the most interesting part that we have found after many years of working on this. And you will see how impressive is our result. Okay, so this one possibility. You can use your own bulk and your own voice in order to draw attention. Imagine that he's sleeping. Of course, if I do this, he will get awake probably. But what I'm giving is the impression that I'm very confident on myself. Okay, maybe this is too much. Okay, but I had another case in which a similar situation happens, but this was a bit different. I had another student, this was not a student of mine, but this other one was a student of mine. So I was explaining to him precisely the same thing that I'm explaining to you. That you have to be confident, you are the person that are in charge of this, you know better than the rest the things in order to feel quiet on what you have done, to relax because you are the expert, okay? But still, this guy was very short, very thin, very, very, very shy, okay? So he would have been the typical guy like this, trying to avoid the center of the scene. Then this was the first talk I proposed him for a workshop in a collaboration to present our results. And I told him, okay, you are going to give the talk. So it was the first time and he had to do this. And I know that he was very, very shy. So we made a lot of rehearsal, but he has this kind of voice like, so we will see here. Okay. So I will try not increase the volume because you have no. Now I have a microphone, but imagine you don't have the microphone, whatever, you cannot speak like this. You cannot. You have to be listened by the people. Then, and there were some enemies in the audience, because this was a workshop on a particular stuff that we were doing, and there were different opinions on some particular stuff. And in particular, we made something in a way that was different from the way it was done by a group from Marseille, I don't remember. Okay, then the day came, and this guy came here and made a talk, and he was very confident. We were talking with a good volume. And then in the audience, the enemy asked for a question. And so he said, "This is not like this. You do not understand anything. I mean, can you see that this is what you have done and this is better of what you have done? Listen, I mean, stop to do this kind of question. Maybe you will, if you want, you will." Okay. So I was astonished. I was in the end of this room, and I impressed. And so after we have been discussing, of course, we were in friend terms. I mean, enemies on the work, but we were discussing, and so we have been discussing on the point. And then after, when we finally, there were the two of us only, I asked, "But what happened? I mean, we have been rehearsing this." So he told me that he was taking drugs. There were, I don't know, whatever pills. I was so shy that my mother suggested me to take this particular thing that was making feeling like I'm going to eat a lion in front of me. I don't ask. I don't ask. "Are you safe? Are you okay?" Yes. My mother told me that this is going to, the effect is going to go away in a couple of hours. No problem. Okay. In a couple of hours, we speak again. So you put in the last row of the room and try to be quiet, because we don't want to have problems with the rest. So I'm not saying, of course, that you have to take drugs. Still, what I'm saying is that really you need to achieve this kind of confidence. If you speak with a good volume, and you speak looking at the people, and you speak occupying the room. So I move a lot, but this is needed, because really is 20 minutes, maybe it's okay. But if you have a talk of 1 hour, it's very, very difficult to keep the attention of the people for 1 hour. And if in the audience there are 100 people, it's even more difficult, because they are completely, I mean, all the people are thinking to their own things, and maybe they are not following you. So to the first point is to be confident on your particular possibility. You have to be happy with the presentation that you have prepared. Okay, and then you can use all the tricks that you can imagine in order to make this one-to-one to the rehearsal. The rehearsal should be optimum, should be fantastic, and the presentation should be almost as fantastic as the rehearsal. Okay, there are some people that actually get better in front of a real audience. Okay, so let's try to do this. I suggest you to rehearse in front of your companions, the other students. Maybe you do a group, and the three of you rehearse each of them the thesis. Why in front of the companions? Well, because they will ask you questions that are not from the advisor, so it's much better. And you tune a bit the level. And they represent an audience that is less biased than the group in which you are working. The people in the group, everybody knows what you are doing. Okay, so the questions will be to the spot. Whereas audience questions from the other students probably will be more general and could be more similar to those from the biophysicist in the thesis of an astrophysicist. Okay, thanks. Two things. The first one is, please send me other work, the file with the figures and so on and so forth, so that by tomorrow I prepare it. And this would be the last class. And second, question time. Also from the online, if you want. No questions. Okay. Any question could be done tomorrow also. Well, Let's go to the last one by tomorrow, in which we go back to see your own work. Okay? Thank you very much.